Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Teal Tinted Glasses. This week, obviously, there's going to be a lot to decompress today, so we're probably not going to get to absolutely everything that's happened because we want to kind of sleep at some point tonight, and I'm sure you want to not be stuck here looking at our faces for 4 hours, but faces we have aplenty. Tonight on the panel is Mr. Hockey Jerk.
I will remember you.
Very nice. Mr. Kevin Lacey, you're muted.
He's eating ice cream.
All right, Mr. Kevin Lacey, muted, eating ice cream. And we also have a special guest with us tonight from Teal Town, USA. Also on After Dark, also blah, 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 blah. You know him, you love him. It's Mr. Eric Landy.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's good to be here.
Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. I'm drowning my sorrows in ice cream, guys. Help me.
I know. I was hoping that everyone was going to have a tune. yeah, I guess we should probably talk about
Alex Gallant. I know. I'm as distraught as you guys. I'm as distraught.
I think we should, obviously talk with the big topic of today, and that would definitely be the loss of Alex Gallant to the Tampa Bay.
Don't forget Buddy Robinson going to Winnipeg.
Buddy Robinson going to Winnipeg.
No, I will eat ice cream over Buddy Robinson going, though.
Me too. All right, let's be serious here. I think we should obviously let's start with Marlo, because I think that is obviously the story of the day. Marlo leaves San Jose after 19 seasons. He goes to Toronto. He has a 3-year deal with a full no movement clause, and it is a cap hit of $6.25 million. He has a huge serious bonuses here in the deal as well. He has $14.5 million in signing bonuses over the next 3 years, $7 million of this year, 4.5 the next.
Say lockout protection.
Yeah, no doubt. $3 million in the final year. For those that want to know why, signing bonuses are significant, especially when they make up such a huge portion of your contract, signing bonuses are, you can't touch them. They're guaranteed money. If the Leafs wanted to buy him out, not that they should, because it's a 35 plus deal, which means that buying him out would actually still leave them with the cap damage. But if they did decide to lock one, he'd still get that money. If there's a lockout, he still gets that money. And most importantly, that money is not touched by escrow. So, if you want to know why Marlo would take this deal, because, I know there's a lot of why would Marlo do this to us, blah, blah, blah. That's definitely part of it. Landy, you're the guest here. What are your initial thoughts on Marlo moving on?
Honestly, it's kind of painful. He's shark for life.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, but just kind of going over it, he was the face of the franchise for so long, and he was, like I said, Mr. Shark, the person that was largely seen as embodying the Sharks and playoff successes and playoff failures. However, look, when you get that kind of a deal at this age, you kind of have to just take it. These kind of deals don't come around all that often, and I'm glad Doug Wilson didn't sign it, because that cap hit for that long, for how old he is, it's just too risky of a deal. It's just too risky. And so, we're talking a little bit, had it a little prior to the show, but had it gone maybe for a 2-year deal here, or had he gone for maybe a higher cap hit but a 1-year deal in San Jose, that those kind of deals would have made sense here. But that just wasn't in the cards for him. And hey, you know what? He got paid, and he took the money and ran.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Kevin, I'll come to you next. What's your thoughts on Marlo moving on? Are you destroyed? Are you gutted? Are you going to take a pitchfork and run to Doug Wilson's house?
I'm actually going to save my reaction for when we get to Thornton. However,
I think that it's absolutely the right decision that Patrick Marleau made. He is, yeah, it sucks because he's one of the two big faces of the franchise. Okay, Brent Burns too, but I would say he's one of the two big faces of the franchise. And, but he's 38 years old and getting a no movement clause, multi-year deal at that salary and you're 38. Absolutely. Way to go, Patty. That's awfully, I won't say awfully high, because I feel that Marleau gets respect everywhere else but in San Jose. Everyone freaking loves Patrick Marleau outside of San Jose. But Patrick Marleau's been playing here for 20 years, and a lot of the Sharks fans have become jaded with him, whether it's warranted or not. And so my one concern for Marleau, can he handle that media scrutiny in Toronto? I don't know.
Yeah. Mr. Hockey Jerk.
Well, I am upset that Marlowe's not with the team anymore because, you know, me being a young guy, Marleau is really all I've known, you know, as a Sharks fan. So it's kind of an adjustment, but at the same time, and, you know, Kevin alluded to it as well, in fact, hell no. No way does San Jose do it, no matter how important Marleau is. Like, the dollars I'm fine with, but it's the years that are key. And, you know, it was apparent from the beginning that Doug Wilson wanted to do 1 year, but was willing to do 2 years. And, I mean, obviously, Marleau chased the 3 years, and I think that has to do with, you know, job security more than anything. And, you know, he's going to a team that's very young and a team that has a lot of skill, but it's also a place where he can be, you know, the guy, because, you know, in the last how many ever years, you know, people like Couture and Pavelski and Thornton and Burns have all overshadowed Marleau. And, you know, I think Marleau got way too much criticism for how good he actually was. I mean, second all-time among active players in playoff points, but, you know, disappears in playoffs, right?
Of course.
Well, but I'd like to place this, kind of just this little nugget on there. Is he the guy in Toronto, though? I mean, I feel like Mitch Marner, William Nylander, and Austin Matthews all over-eclipse Marleau. I think he's the elder statesman for sure, and they look to direction, you know, as far as how you're supposed to be a pro to him. But I don't think he's necessarily the guy there, because believe me, the kind of person that he is, he shies away from the media, right? He doesn't want to be answering those questions. And in Toronto, when you're making that kind of money and, you know, you're expected to produce there, it just doesn't make sense from that perspective, and I think he's going to get a rude awakening.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Landy here on that too. Sorry, go ahead, Hockey Jerk.
I was just going to say that's a very good point. And I mean, when I say the guy, I more so mean, you know, like you said, he's the elder statesman. I fully expect him to be an alternate captain. You know, it's the Mike Babcock thing where he likes to get, you know, he likes his certain players that he gives, you know, certain nods to. It was,
and
you know,
Babcock loves Marleau. Let's not ignore that fact.
It's noted he loves Marleau. He was quoted after the reverse sweep as saying, if you don't want him, give us a call, us being the Detroit Red Wings at the time. And I mean, you look at Matt Hunwick. Matt Hunwick was around for a while because he's a Babcock guy. Same thing, you know, Nazem Kadri really turned around his career again because of Mike Babcock. I think the relationship with Mike Babcock is the key here. And I think, you know, while on the Sharks, Marleau was more of a depth goal scorer, if you will, I think he's going to have a bigger role on the Leafs because he's a Babcock guy and because he's an older guy and because he's going to play in their top six.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, going back to what Landy says, I think this is, you know, there's definitely going to be high media pressure for Marleau. He's not going to escape it. I don't think that he's going to be able to deflect it onto other players because it's Toronto. No one, I mean, their third line scrub, fourth line scrub is treated like an all-star in the media. You know, like, they get that kind of attention. Like, there's really no hiding from that media. And I think that it's for Marlowe's sake. I think, you know, I wrote today on Teal Town USA that there's really, like, it's really hard to find a fault. Like, I know that the initial reaction is, who the hell are we going to get angry with, right? Like, whose fault is this? There's really, this isn't anyone's fault. I think that the offer that the San Jose Sharks made to Patrick Marlowe, which has been reported as 2 years, $10 million, I feel like that is more than fair for where, you know, for a guy like Marlowe and where he's played throughout the lineup. You know, in Toronto, he's going to get a chance to play with some, you know, he's gonna get the chance to play with you know, be a first line guy, not maybe third line tonight, maybe second line tomorrow, maybe first line if we need to get, you know, the first line going. He's gonna be probably your first line wing, playing with Matthews and, you know, whoever else they have on the other side, Nylander, I guess. So I mean for Marlowe, I mean, that money, that opportunity, I don't blame him for not saying no. You know, and I know that some fans feel betrayed, and I understand that. I'm certainly not going to be here to tell you not to be angry about this or not to be upset about this. But at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, you have to understand it's a business.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's just that, if it were me, I would have said, okay, if you want to stay with the Sharks, if you want to have, you know, a multi-year deal, you're going to have to bring that AAV down below 5. So in my opinion, if they were going to keep Marlowe and Jumbo for 3 years, as they both wanted, mm-hmm. I said, okay, but I only want to give you $12 million. I want to pay you $4 million per year. That's, to me, that would have made sense if you were going to go longer on term. If you're not going to go longer on term and you still want to be paid the way that you're being paid now, then we're going year to year. And that's kind of what the read I got from Doug Wilson was as well. It was, hey, look, we can either pay you super high on year-to-year kind of deals, you know, more than market value, or we can go longer term but have to bring in that cap hit. And it makes total right. sense, because they need the flexibility come next year when yep. when the Mark Edward Vlasic deal kicks in and when the Martin Jones deal kicks in.
Right, on top of the fact that the Burns deal's kicking in this year.
Yep. Right.
And, you know, and back to the Babcock thing, I mean, without Babcock, Marlowe is not on that 2014 Sochi team. It's just, it's not a thing if Babcock's not the coach.
Well, I disagree there, just because that year Marlowe was having a relatively good year offensively. I believe that year was the last time he scored 30 goals, and I think that was probably his, that 13-14 year, I believe, was his last year as a, you know, true number one line offensive threat, if you will.
Well, I think the other thing, though, that came out from that Team Canada, just kind of the presser, was that mm-hmm. Babcock included him by name. You know, he was right. basically saying, I want Patrick Marlowe on this team. I don't care who you have to bump. So I think what Ian was alluding to was Marlowe was not getting on that team unless Babcock was there.
Based on Thursday, they did some, like, a special on the construction of the team, and they had the management group in, like, watching a Sharks game and watching the power play, and, you know, at the time, which was, you know, obscene, you know, but they weren't really, they didn't really talk too highly on Marlowe, to be completely honest.
Yeah. And so it was really Babcock who said, look, I want him on my team. And, you know, we've seen that over and over again, just the admiration. And I think it started all with when we had those epic series with the Wings. You know, he just got an up close personal look at what Patrick Marlowe did, the kind of damage he did to the Wings, and just said, hey, you know what? I want that kind of player on my team. So, I mean, look, I mean, when you've got a team that's kind of one foot in, one foot out on you, being the Sharks, not knowing what they wanted to do, whether or not they want to go to the future or if they want to kind of stay to the old proven vets. But you've got a team, you know, coming from hockey's pinnacle, mm-hmm. Pinnacle City, basically saying, look, we have a position here for you. We have a spot. You're going to be an integral piece to this puzzle. and you've got a head coach that he's know and that he likes and's got a history with, I mean, it makes sense. It really does. It really does make sense. The New York Rangers kind of, I thought that that rumor was kind of a little bit kind of out there. Same thing with them, with Montreal. I felt both of those teams, sure, they could have given him more money, but I don't think that there was kind of that extra factor like Babcock. And like with Pierre LeBrun saying a little bit earlier, he thought maybe he was going to Southern California, you know, just try and stay in the Pacific Division, trying to stay in the Pacific time zone to be close to his family.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Marleau thought the same thing. I'm under the impression, based on what I've seen on Twitter from Pierre LeBrun and various sources, say it basically sounds like Toronto, day one of the courting period or whatever you want to call it, came out with this offer, and it's been nothing but scrambling ever since. Like, oh, this is a lot of money to pass up, you know, as Patrick Marleau. And I think he's been giving the Sharks the past several days to try and come up with something.
Right. I think that I think you're perfectly right, Lacey. I think it was Toronto coming in really strong with that initial offer and the Sharks trying to play catch up. I just don't think Doug Wilson was going to bend on this one, and good on him. I mean, he said, look, we got a deal there. We can give you an extra year, but it probably meant less money overall. But he was pretty firm on that 3 years. And I mean, it makes sense because his locker room exit interview, he said he felt like he could play another 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how he sees himself, and that's how he sees his value. So good on him for getting what he wanted.
Yeah. And but that
it just sucks that, you know, it's not with us.
Right. And when he said that, that was when the reality set in for me of, oh, Patrick Marleau is not coming back next season, because there's no way that the Sharks, I don't see Marleau, what you mentioned earlier, going year to year at his age, because one bad year and whoop, that's over. We've seen so many players just get killed off of that by that. But
and by the way, we can blame me for the Patrick Marleau signing because my room is clean.
Yeah, but it even though the writing has been on the wall for a while, it's still, this is the day, and it's still kind of it still hits hard. And
for sure.
Yeah, I know. As soon as it happened, I texted Puck Guy, and Puck Guy immediately called me from the road. What? Tell me that isn't true. And it's like,
apparently he swerved somewhere on the 680.
Yeah.
Thanks for trying to kill Puck Guy.
So I've got a question for you guys. You know, Pat, you brought up Patrick Marleau saying he can play for 5 more years. How believable do you think that is?
Very.
Do you think he has another 5 years?
Yeah.
I don't know about five. Five seems a stretch.
See, that put him at 44, which is what Jágr is, right? And I think he's in better shape than Jágr.
I don't know. Exactly. Jágr is a freak.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, you look at the age and, you know, he should have retired 2 years ago. He's ancient by hockey standards. But you know what? He's faster than a lot of guys who are in their 20s, even with his advanced age. And his shot is still one of the best shots in the league. And, you know, I mean, I feel like it's such a cliche, but, you know, he keeps himself in really good physical shape. I mean, you kind of have to when you have, you know, four sons. But I don't know. I think he could go another 5 years.
Let me go in here for a second.
Yeah,
the thing that gets me, though, is like, I get that he's like he maybe has another 5 years in the tank. But if you look at like a lot of like the underlying numbers, you know, it was really Couture and Donskoy doing most of the heavy lifting on that line.
Sure.
I mean,
you know, driving possession and, you know, zone entries, what have you.
I mean, but you have to realize, I mean, he was 37, 38 and, you know, scoring 27 goals. I mean, that's nothing to you know,
certainly
sniff
not
at, you know, and so, okay. So let's say, for instance, if he does go another 4 to 5 years, so that put him at 44. And if he's a 20 goal scorer by the time he exits the league, I mean, that's pretty damn good. I mean, that's better than Jágr was. And I mean, and Jágr is now, I mean, just now, is he not getting offers anymore? So I don't think it is out of the realm of possibility. It's just going to be to me whether or not he's going to be able to handle Toronto.
Here's the difference between Jágr and Marleau, though, especially if Marleau had stayed in San Jose. This offense, and I've said this many times, this offense runs through it, mostly Joe Thornton, but I still think Marleau is still counted on for a significant amount of, you know, for a significant amount of goals. Yes. Whereas like Jágr was more of a complementary piece of a young core. Like the core in Florida is still pretty young, and Jágr was more of a complementary piece. And I don't, and the thing that worries me with Marleau and Thornton to a better extent is, you know, when is it, when do they step back and be, you know, when do they become the complementary pieces and not the focal point? Yeah. And I don't know if that ever happens here, you know? And so I think that, you know, I definitely raises some interesting questions. I think I want to move on to Thornton, and then we can kind of, you know, talk about the other deals and where the Sharks go from here and whatnot. Joe Thornton signs a one-year deal, $8 million, initially reported as 6.5. My guess here is that he had two deals. He had a I'm here deal and I'm not, and Patty's not here deal. And then when the news came out today, he signed the not here deal, and it was the $8 million one. What do you guys think of this $8 million for Thornton for 1 year, considering coming off injury, blah, blah, blah? Kevin, I'll start with you.
It works for 1 year, but that's a tough pill to swallow to think, couldn't that money have been split up into two assets? But the thing is, we don't know. At this point, we don't know, because we're not the GMs of the Sharks. But there's a lot of money being thrown around right now by the Sharks, and it's interesting. And from what I heard from the Vlasic signing, which we'll get to later, and Jones, it sounded like Hasso Plattner stepped up and was involved in the conversation. And I have to think it was the same thing with Joe Thornton. So cap hit aside, I think a big reason why Joe Thornton received $8 million at his age coming off knee surgery to replace two ligaments, I think is Plattner saying, don't care, we got to keep you. Here's the money.
Mr. Hockey Jerk.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. You know, I think, look, if Joe Thornton, I mean, Patrick Marleau leaving, that's one thing. If Joe Thornton leaves, the Sharks are a lottery team. And if you try to tell me otherwise, then you will get the crap added out of you. Kevin put it nicely. You know, I think Hasso jumped in and said, look, I want this team to be competitive. You want this team to be competitive. Let's not play any games here. And I don't hate the signing for Joe Thornton because, yes, $8 million is a hefty number, but I honestly feel like people fail to realize that in every year since the salary cap was introduced, except for lockout years, it has gone up every year. So there's growth there. The Sharks also have some cap penalties coming off the books with the Adam Burrish buyout and the Tommy Wingles retained salary. There's some space there, and it's a 1 year deal. So at the end of the year, if he, you know, plays well, hey, Joe, take another 1 year deal. We're good. And if he doesn't, then you just walk away and you cut your losses. But I mean, he's had 50 points in 79 games last year. I mean, is that all of a sudden bad? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. I think,
I mean, just kind of rolling over the cap space real quick, because we had kind of alluded to it. Right now, the Sharks sit at about $10 million underneath the cap. That's with the Thornton $8 million contract up on the books.
Right.
And right now, the only RFA that we've got, well, we've got a couple RFAs, but the only one off the Sharks roster is Chris Tierney. And, you know, his deal shouldn't be too bad. And then, of course, we got Sorensen and Goodrow waiting on deals as well, and those aren't going to be bad either. So, I mean, you got $10 million worth of cap space on, you know, in the roster, and you've got one roster player you got to play. I mean, Chris Tierney is not getting over $3 million. I mean, there's no way.
No way.
So, I mean, you're talking roughly $8 or $9 million to play with, and you've got some prospects to deal with too. So, this leads me to believe there's room for some kind of deal here. And I think
absolutely.
Doug Wilson is calling everybody trying to get a scoring winger.
See, Chris Edwards breaks up a good point, though. That $10 million was with only 10 forwards. I mean, obviously, I
think it's actually nine.
Nine forwards. So you're going to have, you know, so that's going to, there's not, you know, there's the illusion of space there, because obviously, let's say you pull up LeBanc, you call up Meyer, you know, there's less than a million.
So we're talking about $7-8 million realistically?
Yeah. About $7-8 million is probably about what. You know, what they'll have to play with once you get Tierney under contract and you make whatever call-ups you make, depending on what, you know, what Sorensen gets, what Gaudreau gets. So it's definitely something that, you know, you have to consider, but I still think there's room. My thing is, I don't know if I don't think the Sharks need to run out right now and make a deal. Like, I'm very much on this. Let's kind of put these guys' feet in the fire, because you have a lot of players. Like, look at Joe Thornton coming back probably keeps this at least, you know, this keeps this team a playoff team. But there's too many players on this team right now that need to take that next step. And having Marlow not there, having that spot open for other guys to try and, succeed, I think that's good. And I think the Sharks should sit on their cap space, wait. Let these guys see what they are without Marlow there, because I think that's important. I think that, you know, you need to give these guys the opportunity to take that next step. And if they're not going to take that next step, well, that's good to know when we have, you know, when their deals are coming up. So I personally would like to see, I think they should just sit on the cap space, but that's my opinion. What say you, panel?
I just want to jump in on that real quick. I think they will, because to me, giving Thornton $8 million as the whole Marlow's not here, so we'll give you extra to stay aspect. That means Radulov and Kovalchuk are not coming to the Sharks. So we should just nip that right there.
No, I think you can nix Jágr on there too.
Yeah, I mean, anyone of value on the market's not coming in.
I mean, I think the first thing you got to look at too is California state tax. I mean, and for the free agent players, that's not insignificant. You know, there's a reason why Jágr played in Florida for a little while. You know, there's a reason why he went to Dallas. You know, there are clearly other factors going on here. And we don't even know, as far as like what Peter DeBoer's status is among free agents. We don't know if they like the way that he plays veterans versus young players. We don't know if he's got this kind of like this bullwhip reputation on him. There's just a lot of factors that we as fans will never know. That being said, you guys are all right. I mean, it's time for some of the young kids to really step up. And the one good thing about the Marlow signing to Toronto is that it gives an opportunity for the organization to have this transition happen organically versus a trade being necessitated to make room. There's now an organic space that has been made. So, you know, can LeBanc come up and seize a full season spot, or can Meyer come in and take a full season spot, you know, and actually slot them in where they're supposed to be? Timo Meyer is a top six forward going away. Kevin LeBanc has the skill set to be a top six forward, doesn't have the size to be a bottom six forward. If we still had Nicky Goldobin, I really would have liked to have seen him in that Marlow slot, because you know what? It's hot, slots him in as a top six forward, and he was never going to be a bottom six player. Always was going to be top six or bust.
Yep.
So, that is the one nice thing about this, is that there is an organic kind of changeover, and there is a space for a young player to really step up. In my opinion, the 1 year deal for Thornton really does give Doug Wilson some time to figure out, okay, who's going to be my next generational centerman. You know, what are we going to do about filling that void, that jumbo size void that will be there next year?
Right.
Because I think Jumbo might go to Toronto next year.
You haven't gotten in on this yet. What say you?
I think I agree with Landy. I think this is the perfect time to do, you know, some organic you know, roster turnover, because if we recall, after the Sharks were reverse swept, you know, it was, we were supposed to have, you know, organic roster turnover, but then, just kidding. Marlowe and Thornton are still the big dogs. Niemi's our goalie. We're going to play Burns at defense now. Like, they totally backpedaled and moved forward and changed their opinion 80,000 times from the reverse sweep to the start of the season. I think Landy brings up a good point in that, you know, Marlowe's gone.
Yeah.
He's not coming back. You don't have another choice but to put somebody in that position. And stand out to me, you know, Kevin LeBanc, in his time with Logan Couture, I thought looked good on that line. I think there were at least two or three odd man rushes with the two of them that they scored on. That's always a nice thing to see. Game six against the Oilers, when the Sharks were in panic mode, Marcus Sorensen was on that second line with Couture. I think Sorensen has the speed to provide, you know, to that line and keep up with Couture like Marlowe did. And, you know, even Mikhail Bodker, I know people like to get on him and, you know, Badker, and he's the reason Marlowe left and all the fun jokes, but I'm sticking by what I said earlier. You know, there is no reason can't have a bounce back year. There's just no reason. If he comes out this year and he's crap again, then you explore a trade to a cap floor team, or God willing, a buyout. But, you know, the Sharks have options, and like Landy and Kevin both said, it's all about if these guys want to step up, because they had the chance. They had the chance to step up, you know, 3 years ago when we went through this. And what did we get? Well, Chris Tierney put up some points, which was nice, and Melker Carlson set a consecutive games with a goal streak. But other than that, you know, we didn't really get a whole lot.
Yeah, you got two bottom six forwards out of that whole rebuilding process,
right?
And let's face it. Replacing a Marlowe of last year is a lot easier for a kid to put that kind of responsibility on his shoulders than replacing a prime year Marlowe. So it's only 27 goals that we're removing from the picture. And at the rate the Sharks scored last year, that's a lot. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that Timo could put up 27 goals, or LeBanc could put up 27 goals. It's just going to be about them really taking the reins on this, and it's going to be about Peter DeBoer finally giving full trust to some young kids.
I think that's true, and you know what? I think that it's important that they get this opportunity. I'm not saying they shouldn't look at other free agents. There's a couple free agents out there that, for the right price, I would take a look at. Like, you know, I saw Thomas Vanek's name come in the chat. You give me a Thomas Vanek for 2.5, I'm not upset. You give me a P.A. Parenteau, I'm not upset. I think it blows my mind, P.A. Parenteau, how he just can't seem to hold down a job when it seems like he's just good everywhere he goes. You give me a P.A. Parenteau, I'll be ecstatic.
Well, the thing with the two knocks with those two players are the locker room deal. I mean, like, they're supposed to be pretty cancerous. Thomas Vanek has got a history of gambling, and people so no go back. Yeah, so no Vegas. So go back and look at Vanek and look at his checkered career. He's got some personal demons he's got to deal with. And you look at P.A. Parenteau, who apparently rubbed people the wrong way. And we know that Doug Wilson, if anything, is very meticulous about guys' characters. So he's only going to bring in somebody to that dressing room that he feels can mesh with these players, that he feels is a good influence on the locker room. You know, he knew that he burned the bridges during the year after the reverse sweep, and he knew that the locker room and the toxicity, that level can't ever be that way again. So he's got to do due diligence and see, you know, what kind of players he can get that will be, you know, quote unquote, shark type players.
Right. Let me just throw this out here, and then we'll move on to some of the other signings that the Sharks did. Obviously, a lot was made, and to my supreme annoyance, a lot was made about how important Patrick Marlowe was to Joe Thornton coming back, and they had to come back together. And I'm just so glad this narrative can die in a fire now. Like, I'm so happy about this, because I'm thinking, like, okay, I understand that people have friendships and, you know, people, you know, but it's also a business, right? Like, I'm sure there's lots of best friends that play on separate teams, you know? And, you know, this idea that, you know, Joe Thornton would just be so heartbroken without Marlowe when, you know, when have you seen Joe Thornton in a picture without Brent Burns somewhere around him? Like, I just, it baffled my mind. I don't know. I just, I'm glad this narrative's over. I'm glad that Joe Thornton's here and you know, and somehow Patrick Marlowe's not, and that's okay. Do you guys think that the Sharks made the right choice, though? Would you have taken Thornton over Marlowe if you had to pick between the two? Jerk.
I think the Sharks made the right choice. You know, I kind of touched on it earlier. If you have no Thornton, you're looking at Couture, maybe Hurdle, Tierney, Carpenter, O'Regan. I mean, that's not a Stanley Cup lineup in terms of center depth versus, you know, you lose Marlowe, like, you still have Pavelski, you still have Carlson, who can play up, Donskoy, who can play up, you know, Bodker, LeBanc, Sorensen, Timo Meier, even a Barkley Goodrow if he figures it out. You know, it's been long talked about how the Sharks have zero depth on the wings, but I feel like in the last 2 years, the Sharks have done a really good job at depth on the wings. I mean, I think maybe as a security, you find a guy like a P.A. Parenteau or a Thomas Vanek who does come in at a low cap number. But at the same time, I think at this point, the Sharks just need to spread out Marlowe's 27 goals throughout the committee. I mean, you know, you have to remember, too, that, you know, Marlowe, Couture, Pavelski, and Burns, nobody had more than 11 goals. That's not a sustainable trend at all. That obviously is going to turn up.
Can you repeat more than 11 goals on the power play?
No, at all. Pavelski had 28. I think Couture had 25. Marlowe had 27. And then the next highest was Bodker with 11.
Right. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So I said it earlier. There's no reason to believe that the scoring can't turn around. I think Bodker will bounce back. I think LeBanc has made some good strides. Granted, his character with the Barracuda in the playoffs came into question quite a bit, but I think if you give him some NHL time and let him, you know, let him operate under his own ship, I think he'll figure it out. And then, like Landy said too, Timo Meier, you know, looked awesome in the NHL playoffs and made some questionable embellishment choices in the AHL playoffs, but even then, like, I thought Timo Meier looked fantastic with the Sharks, and I think Timo Meier belongs on this team. And, you know, yes, like, it's the Q, okay, and Q stats
hashtag
must be all
Q stats. Q stats.
Yes, scoring goals in the Q is a hell of a drug, but you know what? He's a goal scorer, and he's a very physical player. I think. I mean, I don't like to make comparables, but if you are looking for a comparable, I think Timo Meier could be player
Milan
to
like Lucic light.
Yeah, Diet Lucic, yeah. Or even like a Ryan Clough in his heyday.
No, don't compare him to Chloe. Oh, Chloe.
To play devil's advocate against that, though. I agree. Thornton probably. I think Thornton should have been retained over Marlowe. But to play devil's advocate, as far as the depth goes, I feel like there's a significant drop off from Marlowe at left wing one down to Hansen at left wing two versus Thornton at 1/2 center versus Couture at 1/2 center, or even Pavelski in there as well, if you want to throw him on any of those spots. I guess Pavelski now has to be the number one left wing because I don't consider Hansen or any of the other options first line wings.
Well, I think you just also lost a lot of team speed there with Marlowe leaving. So the thing with, and I'll kind of play devil's advocate too. The thing is when you lose Marlowe, you lose a lot of speed. And now this team has, you know, it took last year and it wanted to get sped up. So it got Marcus Sorensen, it got Mikhail Bodker, and it got David Schlemko. By now taking Patrick Marlowe out of the equation, you've reduced the team's speed and you've kind of kept it that plodding along style that Thornton likes to play. There's no problem with that. He's just got to get complementary pieces that can play with him in that style. So if it were me, I would probably put Timo up there on that first line wing with Jumbo and with Pavelski. And I always liked a big person up there with those three because it gives it kind of opens up space in the slot for Pavelski. And that's what I really liked. So you saw when Hurl used his body on that first line, he would make a lot of room for himself. Or if you saw when Brent Burns was a forward and was up there, he played wrecking ball. And I think they excel when they have that wrecking ball kind of player just to make some space for him.
I want to jump in on something in the chat. I want to make something abundantly clear, and I know I've said this on Twitter a lot lately, and I'm going to say it on air, and I'm going to say it probably every show from here until the end of time. A rebuild for the Sharks was never on the table. And if you think it was on the table, that thought should have left your mind as soon as that Burns and now the Vlasic and the Jones deal are signed. This team isn't rebuilding anytime soon. You don't sign guys to 8-year terms to rebuild.
No, you don't.
It just doesn't happen. Just stop talking about rebuild. It's never going to happen. Doug Wilson will continue to retool on the fly for better or worse. This team is not going to have a got it down to the bolts rebuild ever.
It's going to be more like Detroit. I mean, it's going to be that Detroit system of trying to keep the best team on the ice and the best product on the ice on there all the time. Because Mr. Ilitch was a owner who was notorious for spending a lot of money and for making sure that the team was not going to bottom out. I just want to throw one name in there that I think could maybe flourish on that second line is Roerich Chartier. I know he hadn't got any NHL time last year, but he does have a scoring touch. So that leads me to believe maybe he might be able to move to a left wing or a right wing. And I'd be kind of interested to see what he does with Couture. But go ahead, Jerk. I'm sorry.
Was I saying something? Sorry.
Yeah, you were. You were talking about, I think it was...
Oh, yes. I just want to kind of piggyback onto what Ian said, but... And I'm making this statement as general as possible. I'm not calling anybody out because I'm guilty of this myself. I've noticed that the individuals who are calling for a rebuild are the same ones who get upset when the Sharks tend to lose a handful of games in a row. And, you know, rebuilds entail losing. And yeah. I fear that let's say the Sharks strip it down to the bolts and they do rebuild, I think the fans, because let's be honest, we all, you know, we're not exempt from this. We're just as much involved too. We have been spoiled with good seasons. And, you know, you can be a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs who lose in the first round and be like, hey, you know, we did some really good work this year. Or you can be a team like San Jose who is a year removed from losing in the Stanley Cup final and say, oh, that's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that a rebuild is totally ridiculous. And I stress to all of you that it could be a lot worse. And,
well,
you know,
right. I mean, and the other thing that we got to remember too is the way that the marketplaces react to rebuilds. In Toronto, you have a huge corporate sponsorship and you have just a city rabid for hockey. They can deal with a prolonged rebuild because you've got the fans that aren't fickle. You know, Bay Area fans, we are super, super spoiled with just the product that we have here. And so if the Sharks do take a step back, you saw how that was the year that we did not make the playoffs. So you saw how much the season ticket holders reacted to that. And I think Hosko got scared shitless and said, hey, look, we can't do that. I mean, this team will not survive if it tries to go through a rebuild as it is now today with the fan kind of interactions that we have today. You know, you look at a team like Chicago, you know, they couldn't withstand the rebuild for a long time. I mean, before the Wirtz family kind of took over and just kind of got their heads out of their asses. I mean, you look at how barren the United Center was prior to 2010. I mean, hockey, unfortunately, it's still not as popular as baseball or football, where you'll get the fans to come as long as there's a product on the ice. So rebuilds in this case are just, it's going to be hard.
I think the thing with Chicago, though, I think you have to remember is, like, old man Wirtz really made it difficult to love that team. He, you know, like, it was difficult to be a fan of that team. You know, he kept games off television. You know, the teams were terrible. I mean, he really went out of his way to just make it the worst market ever. And a lot of that's been corrected by his son and winning, obviously, as, you know, as I always say, winning
fixes everything.
Winning fixes everything.
But I'm just saying that this marketplace isn't as robust as a Chicago or a New York or a Toronto or a Montreal, sure, or an Edmonton, for Christ's sake. I mean, look how Rexall Center was, or Rexall was always full, even though that team was hot garbage. I mean, hot garbage for a long time. So I just don't see our fans doing that for 3 or 4 years until we get that generational number one pick.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Tierney in the chat here. I'm gonna hit this quick and then we can move on. A lot of talk in the chat about, like, where does, you know, what we do with Chris Tierney at this point. I still think that I thought with wingers, Chris Tierney didn't look terrible. I feel like he, you know, like, you got to remember, yes, Chris Tierney didn't put up enough points last year. This is true. But how many points are you putting up with Ward and Haley on your wings? Like, or Bodker with having the year he had. Like, I don't think we've seen all of Chris Tierney yet. I still think he could probably be the third line center on the team. I think that Carpenter's probably your fourth line center this year, but it'll be interesting to see, because that obviously, you know, then what do you do with wing Hurdle? You know, are they going to continue on this Hurdle at center nonsense, or are they going to put him on the wing? With Marlowe gone, Hurdle to the wing might be a thing.
A good thing.
But then it's, again, all right, he's back with Thornton. Not that that's a bad thing, but I still want to see Hurdle do anything without Thornton.
True. Maybe he's with Couture.
I want to see Hurdle with Couture and Meyer. I really think that those two should be paired together. That's a whole hell of a lot of meat throwing around their weight. And especially with the way that the Pacific is going, and with everybody rearming themselves for, you know, a huge slugfest in this division. I mean, we're in no means a small division anymore.
No.
Well, see, all right. And I just one last thing, and then we can finally move on. But see, I thought, when Hurdle was with Bodker and Hansen, I thought there were numerous games where they were the best line on the team, mm-hmm. And even in the playoffs, very early in the playoffs, but in the playoffs, like, there, but, you know, that was on paper San Jose's third line, and they, again, were the best line in a lot of games, and yep. I think that was a nice, you know, a little view into Hurdle's potential, you know, without Joe Thornton, and I don't know.
I liked what I saw there.
It was good. It helps that, you know, I believe it was Landy who said earlier, you know, Hurdle has the big body, so he can make space, and then you have Bodker and Hansen who can just
fly
through that space like nobody's business.
Yeah. Now let's swing around the re-signings, shall we?
Yeah. So obviously, a couple of re-signings here. These guys, obviously, extensions that were signed as soon as they're able to become extensions, they aren't kicking in until not this season, but next season. We'll start with Mark Edward Vlasic, 8 years, $56 million, $7 million AAV, $14 million of which is signing bonus, including $5 million in 2021, which we know is because there's going to be a lockout. Sorry, guys. He has a full no movement clause until 2022-23, and then he has a three-team list until the end of his deal. Doug Wilson laughably quoted as saying he expects more production out of a one Mark Edward Vlasic. Kevin Lacey, what's up?
I don't like that comment by Wilson at all. If you're expecting more, I mean, yeah, we always want players to produce more. But if you're expecting more out of Mark Edward Vlasic, why are you giving him that much money? That much money says to me, Vlasic's already done it. So if you think Vlasic still has room to grow, you shouldn't be giving him $8 million or $7 million.
Here's my 2 cents on that. I agree with you. I think expecting more is asinine, considering the last 10 years he's been the Sharks' best defenseman ever. Mm-hmm. Like, Norris Trophy, is not for the best defenseman. It's for the best offensive defenseman.
Correct. Yeah.
But you know what? Vlasic is only 2 years removed from putting up a career high in points. Mm-hmm. And even though this year he had a down year in the analytics community, he still put up his third best point total in his NHL career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think expecting more points is asinine, but I could totally see him score more points. I mean, he likes to, we've seen, you know, he always jokes, you know, coach, give me the puck, put me out there. We've heard quotes like this all the time. I think he can score. I think he can break 40.
Yeah.
Points.
So,
at what cost? I mean, are you now saying that he's going to sacrifice his all world shutdown ability? Just quickly kind of chiming in on the contract. Look, he was going to get that and more on the open market.
I was trying to go.
Yeah, I have no doubt that there was a Yahoo in Toronto and a Yahoo in New York that would have said, okay, we'll give you, you know, seven times eight, because defensemen that play his style are not a easy thing to come by. I mean, yeah. You look at a partner that needs to be in Ottawa, even though they don't have the money. I'm sure that they would have looked at a Mark Edward Vlasic. I'm sure there would have been 31 teams out of 31 teams looking at him and saying, you know, we'll have you play here. And I'm sure the big markets like Toronto, hell, even Montreal, his home state's team. I mean, they would have ponied up a lot of money. So, I think that was the money that was going to take. He did. I think he took a break on the Sharks. I think he probably could have gotten $8 million a year.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah. And that's what you just said, Landy, is where I was going with my initial point was. Now, with that said about the room for production thing, line, whatever, it's not like Vlasic doesn't deserve the contract, at least the yearly salary that he's getting. Maybe later down the line, that contract hurts, but we'll worry about that then. Right now, for the production that Vlasic does put up, I think he's worth it. I love the guy. He's the Sharks' best defenseman, as you mentioned, Hockey Jerk, in the last 10 years easily, except for, you know, I mean, homegrown anyway, because Burns is obviously a pretty amazing player. He just won the Norris.
Right.
But it's also you have to look into what we brought up on Puckology Writers Room and Tinted Glasses throughout the year, which was what Vlasic was making was a freaking steal for what we were getting. So absolutely. In a way, this is a little bit of probably compensation for what Vlasic has done over the last number of years.
Yeah, and like I said, he could have raked them over the coals. He really could have. And he could have put it to Doug Wilson and said, I want Brent Burns' deal. You know, he wouldn't have been out of line for asking exactly what Brent Burns got. Not in my mind, at least. They're two completely different animals. You can't base one contract off of the other. But he could have said, look, the value that I provide to this team is as important as Brent Burns' value. Points-wise to shut down defense-wise. So that's why, to me, he kind of held back and took a hometown discount. And people are going to laugh at me. I'm like, well, how's $7 million a hometown discount? Like I said, you look up north and look how defensively starved the teams in Canada are. You look at a team like New York. You look like a team like Boston. I mean, defensemen do not grow on trees, and I don't know how much more we can stress that. And they get overpaid. I mean, just look at Carl Osner's deal. I mean, for Carl Osner, he got that much money.
Yeah. Yep. Funny thing is, I was going to say a great fit for Vlasic if he had gone somewhere else, to me, would have been Vegas, because you put Vlasic with Theodore on that top pair.
Jeez. Oh, it's not even fair.
Or hell, go down south and reunite him with his old D partner in Rob Blake and that wicked Team Canada set of Doughty and Vlasic,
which was stupid.
Yeah. Stupid. I mean, that's stupid.
That's stupid. That's just I just I okay.
I give up.
Yeah, I I don't like the term. I didn't like the term for Burns's deal. I don't like the term here. I do not like these super long contracts that end when players are in their late 30s.
40s. Late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, Flasic will be 38 when his is done. And that bothers me a lot, because I don't like the fact that we kick the can down the road like that, which is what we've been doing with, I mean, the Sharks are good at that. That's what we've been doing with Marlowe and Thornton the whole time, just kicking the can down the road a little bit further instead of actually dealing with it. I don't like the term. The money's fine. I hate these 8-year terms. I understand that's the business of hockey today, and this is just the reality we have to deal with. I don't like it. I don't like it for Burns. I don't like it for Vlasic, and I'm not even crazy about Jones for 6, to be completely honest with you guys.
Ian,
go ahead.
Are you concerned about this trend that all of a sudden is happening where 8-year deal, 8-year deal, 6-year deal, after the Sharks have always been known as that team reluctant to give these long deals? Are you a little concerned that this is a trend?
No, because I think that it shows that the Sharks are, they want to be competitive. You know, Hasso wants to make sure that this team's competitive. They want to make sure that players stay in San Jose. They don't want to lose players to bigger terms elsewhere. It's a business, man. I know you can sell everybody on how awesome it is to live in California and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Guess what? I hear Florida's really nice, too. And there's no state tax.
Yeah, look at the Sharks' record for free agency. And look how many times that the big names have kind of said, hey, you know what, it's awesome out there, but it's just the tax kills us. And they want to be in a place that's got a little bit more coverage, a little bit more media coverage, a little bit more, you know, taken seriously. So, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense that they had to pony up this kind of cash. Like you guys said, it shows the ownership is heavily invested in the team and wants to commit to, you know, these players. And I don't have problem giving long-term deals to defensemen, only because they're going to get that from Yahoo's everywhere. That's just the way that they're valued. I mean, we can go on and on and on about how defensemen have been brought out there far too many years in advance, you know, with advanced ages, and still they continue to pay these players. I mean, look at Kevin Shattenkirk and the deal he got.
That's stupid.
It's stupid. I mean, look at Jason Demers. Look at how overvalued Jason Demers was when he got his contract.
And
I mean,
the Panthers are Florida. Didn't know what they were doing.
They tried to dump it to Vancouver to get good Branson back.
Yeah, that's true. I heard that.
I mean, I like the Aaron Ekblad signing. I mean, I really liked him as a player and committing to him for that amount of time. It's just, you know what? Until we get to another lockout, these GMs, they need saving from themselves, and these owners need saving from themselves.
The one thing that I will say about Vlasic's deal, and why I don't like the term, I'm never going to like the term, but why I'm okay with the term, like I'm not as worried about it as say as I'm with a player like Burns, for example, is Vlasic's, you know, he's not really, doesn't really play a reckless physical game. He does most of Vlasic is positioning, stick work, you know. I know he's had some injury issues over the last couple of years, so it's not like, you know, that's not completely not concerned, but I feel like his game will still translate better over the long term.
Yeah, he's like Paul Martin, where his game just continues to translate well into his 30s.
That was going to be my question for you guys. As you look at Dan Girardi, a guy who's been a beast for the Rangers for a number of years, and he got bought out. Why? Because I think the guy's a shell of himself now. I think that Tampa's going to regret signing him because they're not getting the in his prime Girardi.
Well, not if they pair him with Victor Hedman.
What's up?
Not if they pair him with Victor Hedman.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I'm just saying, like, I Girardi's durability at this point, just because the type of game he plays, a kind of a smarter game too, but he's gotten worn down from all the shot blocks and whatnot. I worry about that with Vlasic a little bit on the term, but I hope it's not to be.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it all works out. And you know what? Why stress about today when we can kick the can down the road for 7 years?
Yeah, and you know, the cap will be at $100 million after the lockout.
It'll all get corrected at the 2020 lockout. So.
Right, right.
And then the and
compliance
then the
buyouts. Lockout,
and then the
compliance buyouts for everyone.
Yeah. All right, so Martin Jones, 6-year deal, $34.5 million, 5.75 AAV. He has a he has for the lockout season, he has $1.5 million in lockout protection. And he has some other signing bonuses kicking in, but it's mostly salary there. My question for you guys is, obviously, how do you feel about it? But I feel like this is elite money for a league average goalie. And now you can all flame me to death.
I don't think it's elite money.
I don't think so either. I mean, we've seen, I know Corey Crawford, who I would argue Corey Crawford is the same level as Martin Jones, and I believe his contract is worth more. Look at what stupid deal Carey Price got.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Here's the thing, is whether we like the contract or not, these players, we have to do it. It's as simple as that. Like,
yeah.
I firmly believe if Jones were to go to UFA, you know, a team who needs a starting goalie, I hear Dallas likes goalies, they probably would sign Jones for the moon, you know? It's
Page and Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames.
Calgary is in the market for a starting goalie every year.
And Mike Smith. I mean, look. Kidding. If you think that term and that cap hit's crazy, Mike Smith got $4.25 million a year.
Well, they play the Sharks 6 times a year.
Oh well, okay. I guess he'll make it up against the Sharks. But I mean, seriously, like if he's worth $4.25 million, every day and twice on Sundays, I'll take Jones for an extra $1.5 million or $1.25 million. It's the starting goalie rate. There's not really much you can do about it, and quite frankly, he left money on the table too.
Mr. Who didn't go yet?
I don't really have much to add. I think you guys got it on this. So
all right, so we're happy with the deal. I don't hate the deal. I feel like if he's going to have to get his numbers up a little bit to be worth it, because right so far, you know, look at Martin Jones has definitely stolen games for the Sharks, which is something that previous Sharks goalies haven't done very well. Like probably since, Nabokov, I would say it's been, you know, cause I don't recall Nemo ever really stealing us a game.
Hey, he was a Vezina Trophy finalist in a half season, I'll have you know.
Hey, he's about to win his second Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh.
That's true. That's true. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's move on to just quick here.
AO asked, how much is Aaron Dell making? $625,000.
Yes, $625,000. Antoine Bebo signs with the Sharks. Obviously, it's a one-way deal, $650,000. He's going to obviously play for the Barracuda. I like the signing. I think it stabilizes their goaltending. I would take Antoine Bebo and all the warts there over Mantas Armalis any day of the week and twice on Sunday, and ditto for Clark Saunders.
Yeah.
Same. Agreed.
I love it with Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton, Mark Edward Vlasic, Martin Jones, Antoine Bebo!
Yeah, I had to save the best signing for a lot. guys, Michael Haley is gone. Alex Gallant is gone. I don't think we've re-signed Zach Strottini. Who is going to save us? Who is going to protect the Sharks players from catastrophe?
Well, we could trade a first-round pick to get Ryan Reeves.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That was so bad.
That was really bad.
Someone in the chat mentioned Dwight King. I don't think much of Dwight King. I think he has average AHL speed. I don't know. I don't think anything of him. What do you guys think on that?
I just think that, like, when you look at all the teams in the league, like, you look at, especially in the Pacific, man, they all got mean.
Yeah, they did.
I'm trying to think of the names of, like, people that have gone to different teams. I don't know. Chris Edwards in the chat saying, you know, Dylan, Look, at Dylan can throw. I don't have an issue with that.
I was going to say, just going on the Alex Gallant thing real quick, kudos to him. I mean, a guy who played in the SPHL.
Yes.
Gets an NHL contract. He's probably never going to see a time in the NHL, but I still love Galley. And wow, what a story there.
Jay Clark chiming in. This is pretty funny. Couture looks like a fighter.
you know what? He did get in a fight and punch Mike Richards so hard he broke his hand. So
that's very true.
Yeah,
Maybe there's a future there.
Timo Meier playing the role of Diet.
I figured it out, guys. I figured it out. Who have I been harping on all year besides Vladimir Sobotka? How does Eric Bolton get these contracts every year to play one game for the Islanders, right? Well, at 40 years old, the Islanders did not sign him yesterday on July 1st. So Eric Bolton, guys, at 40. He'll be the
protector. You were talking about players you harp on, and I thought you were going to go the Victor Arvidsson.
Victor Arvidsson. Oh, no, nice. No. I was trying to be nice about it.
Hey, you know, there's a slightly used Shane Doan and Jerome Iginla still on the market that we could use as face
pass pitchers. It pass.
Hey, okay, Shane Doan has been supposed to come to the Sharks every year, like the last 5 years. Why not just make it a reality?
No,
okay, guys.
No.
Iginla, no. Doan, or Jágr? Go.
Jágr.
Iginla, Doan, or Jágr. Oh, God. Jágr.
Iginla.
Oh, I think Doan, but there we go. I guess Jágr wins.
Yay.
2-1-1.
Interesting, though. Brandon Peary is still available.
I
mentioned he's like discount Nieto, if you ask me.
Discount Nieto. Discount Nieto.
Something I want to bring up in the chat. AJ, with his age-old narrative, name me the awesome D-man that Wilson's drafted since Vlasic. Let's see. Anyone want to help me out here? Throw out a name. Jason Demers. Joachim Ryan.
Justin Braun,
yeah.
Was Josh Georges before or after?
I believe after. Before, excuse me.
Before, yeah.
Before, okay.
Dylan DeMello,
yeah. That's another one. I don't know, but there's also a good point. There's going to be another spot open on the defense with the departure of David Schlemko and subsequent trade of David Schlemko.
Golden Knights legend.
Yeah, I'd love to see Heed in that role. I want to see what he's got. I want to see what Joachim Ryan's got. You know, I think these are two players that are ready to fill in. Look, the baby Sharks have a lot of talent, and I just don't think that a lot of people realize just what they've got down there.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's still marinating, and justifiably so. But it's not a completely weak
barren wasteland as it.
Yeah,
used
it's not
to
a
be.
Barren wasteland. It's not. I mean, is there a Mark Edward Vlasic down there? No. Is there a Brent Burns down there? No. But there's still decent. Yeah. There's still some decent prospects out there. Now, obviously, prospects have to turn out at some point, but there's no one down there right now that I would just completely write off. That's actually a prospect.
Yeah, and the D, which was the big question mark for the Barracuda going into last season, I actually think the D might be their strongest position this next season.
It's funny how it oscillates in organizations. You know, this organization used to be known as a goalie factory.
Yeah.
For a long time. And look how barren it is now.
Yeah.
And this team kind of was known for producing those gritty second, third line, fourth line forwards. And now it's switched to D, which this team has never been known to really ripen defensive prospects. But now we've got a bumper crop of them. So it's cyclical. I think everybody just needs to realize that sports is very cyclical. You go through dry spells on the farm, and you go through really a lot of prospects on the farm. It's just really cyclical.
I'm glad you mentioned how the goaltending kind of got barren there for a while. So I'll get this back to Ian's original point that I totally derailed, which was Antoine Bibeau coming in. You look at Troy Grosnick getting re-signed. However, he's now, 27 years old now?
Correct.
Antoine Bibeau, if I recall, is 22 or 23 years old. 23 years old. So there's still a young guy who you can't totally write off yet. Did he win the Memorial Cup? Or was he? Did he lose in the finals? I know he played in the finals of the Memorial Cup.
He was the goaltender. He did lose in the final of the Memorial Cup, but he was the best goaltender in the tournament.
In the tournament, there we go. That's what it was. And the reason that Bibeau is now on the Sharks in the Sharks organization versus Toronto was just, I think he had a falling out with his coach. Toronto had a number of goalies in their pipeline already, led by Garrett Sparks, and he was expendable. So good on the Sharks to at least address that hole, which was even last year, because we always talked about what happens if Grosnick goes down. And now at least there's a solid answer.
There's a solid answer. And 1 year for Bibeau, I mean, that's a nice show me deal. I guess I know we've been doing this for a while. I just want to go through some of the other deals. Just buzz in if you have something to say. Evgeny Kuznetsov tonight just got an 8-year, $7.8 million AAV deal from the Washington Capitals. And then they had to move Marcus Johansson for nothing.
That's a big contract for your second line center.
No. Anyone else have anything on that?
I think at the going rate, though, this is very similar to the Logan Couture contract extension a few years ago when he was the second line center, though. So if you're looking at a few years ago versus now, I think it's right around the same pace. I'm okay with that. I think it sucks for the Caps. They lost Johansson, but.
I mean, look, what makes me wonder now is when you look at some of these deals, what the hell is Ryan Johansson going to get?
A lot.
Did we lose Eric?
We lost Landy. Oh, no!
He probably had to do some laundry.
Oh, there he is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
What does Ryan Johansson get?
What are we talking about?
What does Ryan Johansson get if Kuznetsov's getting 7.25 per year?
Right.
Holy God. I don't even want to know. I mean, eight. I'm guessing eight. Look, if you thought the center situation was bad in San Jose, all you got to do is look at Nashville. After Ryan Johansson, I mean, what the hell else do they have?
Well, they got Nick Bonino, which was a really good signing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mike Fisher is going to be the big question there, is if he goes around for another, you know, goes for one more go around. But I really like that Mike Bonino deal.
I do too. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Legit question. I just don't know. Yeah. One of the things with the Bonino deal was he saves a lot on taxes. Is there something with the Tennessee tax laws I'm not aware of?
It's pretty low.
No idea what the state tax is in Tennessee.
Okay. I know that was a big deal was made of why he signed with Nashville, and that was brought in there.
Cap Friendly has a post-tax earnings calculator, so if you guys can vamp, I can get you some numbers.
Oh wow!
Perfect. I can always vamp.
Tennessee has no income tax, but does have
Edwards.
It does have a hall tax that is 6% tax on interest and dividends.
Oh. There you go.
Okay.
So I guess I'm becoming an accountant now.
Eric Landy, CPA.
All right. So
it's funny, but my uncle's a CPA.
Nick Bonino, 4 years, $4.1 million. I guess we can jump to that next since we kind of already brought up Bonino. I like this deal for Nashville. I think for a third line center, you know, possibly play second. I think Nashville is kind of barren down the middle, and I think this definitely helps.
Agreed. Yeah. I think it's a good signing. They're going to have to get a second line center, though, a true second line center, and I don't know where that comes from. Because you just looked at how bad they were mismatched in the final when they had Ryan Johansson missing. So, you know, to me, that team is still not fully actualized. And when they get another center, that team's going to be more scary than it is now.
So are just to go back, are we ready for some numbers?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So Nick Bonino in Nashville, Tennessee, his salary is $4.1 million, mm-hmm. which has a estimated income tax rate of 38.5%.
Hmm.
Now, if you jump over to the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are in Pennsylvania, and you pull up the contract for Olli Maatta, which has a yearly salary of 4.08,
okay,
the income tax rate is 44.6%.
Okay.
So about 5% savings, yeah. But every little bit counts.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're talking big numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. One of the big contracts where I think, you know, a lot of good deals I thought were signed, but this one I think is a blunder. 4 years, $6.65 million AAV for Kevin Shattenkirk in New York. I don't like this. I just don't.
Somebody's got to take Girardi's money.
I thought...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey,
I
it wouldn't be free agent frenzy without New York making a stupid move.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I don't know. I feel like just a few months ago, Kevin Shattenkirk was going to be the hot commodity in free agency, and then he just played okay in Washington, and his value seemingly dropped a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, but was that based on Kevin Shattenkirk, the player, or the weakness of the free agent market where he was supposed to cash in? Like, that's my question.
I don't know. Because, I mean, it was 3 years ago, he was like top seven in defensive scoring or something like that, top four.
Yeah, but, mm-hmm. but I think the other thing, too, is that he's always played in small markets. And then when you go to a bigger market like Washington, you get a lot more scrutiny. And I think game got really torn apart there.
That's true. Oh, it definitely did.
And he's always been a defensive liability since I can remember him in Colorado. But you're paying him like he's more of a well-rounded defenseman, and he's not that player.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a Paul Martin to babysit him.
I think their worry was just
maybe McDonough. If they pair him with McDonough, that might be pretty.
Yeah, I think they're looking at like a Martin Burns kind of situation with McDonough and Shattenkirk. Because I mean, right before that, their best offensive defenseman was freaking Nick Holden. Like,
Jesus. Nick Holden.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that even without Girardi, they have enough defensive defensemen in there that they can fit Shattenkirk in and be fine. I get what you're saying, just the salary for what you're getting may come into question, but I'm okay with it.
It's funny, too, because allegedly to sign with the Rangers, Shattenkirk actually left money on the table.
I heard that.
Well, he's a New Yorker, so that's the deal. He grew up being a New York fan. He's got a ton of family there. And you know what? That is important to some players. Clearly, it wasn't enough for number 12, but hey.
Right. I would just like to point out, too, and then we can move on.
Are you going to fight with AJ in the chat?
I just want to say AJ would like me to clarify that I meant draft picks from the first three rounds. There you go.
All right.
We may move on.
Perfect. Yeah, what did you guys think of the Justin Schultz deal?
Amazing.
Yeah, I liked it. I think Schultz has been, you know, a real, you know, I remember I came on here before the Sharks faced off against the Penguins in the Stanley Cup final, and I'm like, Justin Schultz?
Yeah.
God damn, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
How about Antti Niemi, 1 year, $700,000?
I think it's...
Okay, before we go into this, it's already been on the books that Rutherford said 30 to 40 games Niemi will play.
For $700,000? Like,
oh my God, you're gonna trot him out for freaking half the season?
Well, yeah, Matt Murray's got to get hurt at some point.
Well, you know, and who's going to play all of those playoff games? It's going to be Matt Murray. Why not just save him until then?
Because you won't even get to the playoffs if you play Niemi for fucking 40 games.
Look, Rutherford has Alzheimer's, all right? Sometimes he thinks he's the coach and he's going to determine when players are going to play. I know he said it, but there's no way that Niemi comes on for $700,000 to play half the games. This is not going to be a platoon situation at all.
Never say never.
He's like Grandpa Rutherford. You want a Werther's original, Sonny?
Hey, what about the goalie carousel? I don't know. I don't remember who tweeted it, but it had
five goalies going in a pentagon.
I love that. Yeah, that was awesome. I wish I had that up. I'm just going to kind of skim through a couple other deals here. What do you guys think of Martin Hanzel going to Dallas for 3 years at 4.75?
He's a good replacement for Cody Eakin's offense.
Whoa! I always liked
Hanzel. 3 goals last year.
I always liked Hanzel for his size. Not necessarily, there's not really a lot of production there. So for that amount of money, I don't really think that that's all that great. But it does give Dallas a little bit more size, which they kind of needed. They were kind of a smaller team, not including Sagan and Ben.
Yeah.
So I like that.
And I'll cap this off with Verbata 1 year, 3.5 with the Panthers.
I absolutely love this signing because, and these are the kind of signings that I wish Doug Wilson would target more often. But if you look at Verbata's stats, he just came off a 50-point season and you got him locked in for $3.5 million. If that's not a steal, I don't know what is.
No, it's great. Great steal. Great pickup. And yeah, I think that it was perfect.
I'm going to regurgitate what Brian Lawton said on NHL Network last night. Why didn't you just keep Jaromir Jagr?
Really?
Because I feel like Jagr fits in there just fine and would have made the same money for the same production.
Honestly, though, it's like Jumbo, in the Sharks dressing room. Jagr is just this pinnacle figure that a lot of the kids just could not. I mean, it's like you're breathing rarefied air. And I know that he does such a good job with, trying to be very inclusive and to like lead the players, during exercising and all of that. But still, that team was not going to move forward unless Jagr wasn't on the team. And I honestly think that they have enough playmaking ability without Jagr that you can get Verbata, who is just a scoring machine. And I would have loved to have seen him in teal. A few different times.
All right, guys, I think we've pretty much gone long enough. So I think next time we're on, I think we'll talk a little bit about maybe who's still out there. I think I'd like to do winners and losers at some point, but I want to kind of do it justice a little bit. So I feel like we've kind of gone long enough tonight. First, obviously, I want to thank Landy for coming on the show tonight. Any final thoughts, sir?
Look, I mean, it's just it's a sad day in Sharkland. But hey, you know what? There's light at the end of the tunnel. The team is not where it was 2 or 3 years ago, where everything was barren and it looked like there was going to be a lot of pain. This team looks like it can still compete. I don't know if it's going to be at the same level that we're accustomed to, but there's some bright spots ahead, and it's not all doom and gloom. So Patty, good luck, and really try and stay in the shadows as much as you can in Toronto. Because they will hound you relentlessly.
Mr. Hockey Jerk, final thoughts?
Final thoughts, I have a couple. Okay. Number one, I'm not a Penguins fan. number
two. But are you
a
Leafs fan now?
Yeah, jury's still out. Like I said earlier, it's really crappy. The Sharks lose a guy like Patrick Marleau, but I'm not mad at the Sharks for letting him go. I think it was the right choice. And I'm not mad at Marleau for leaving. Like, hey, I can go to a good team and make money and have job security. Like, how dare you? No. Like, I think it was totally smart for him. And number three, at me on Twitter, AJ, we got some fighting to do.
Uh-oh.
All right. I am going to have some popcorn for this upcoming Twitter war. Kevin Lacy, final thoughts.
It's pretty sad. I don't know what I'm supposed to do when Toronto comes into town, because Marleau scored a lot of goals at the games that I went to, and everyone in the last maybe 8, 9, 10 years, I always yelled out, "Hey, opposing goalie, St. Patty's yo daddy." Am I supposed to yell this at Jones and Dell now? Like, I'm so conflicted. I'm at Kevin Lacy 22, and thanks for a wonderful season, guys. It's been a pleasure.
I have a question for you.
For me?
Yeah, I thought I did. Now I've lost it.
Oh, was it? Is it? What do I think of Brian Elliott going to Philly? Because
woohoo! No, I was going to say actually. Last question for the panel: how do you think the Shark fans are going to react to Marlowe when he comes back? I don't think it's going to be silly. Like, this isn't going to be Brian Campbell, right?
I hope not.
I don't know. There's some pretty silly Shark fans.
He's the Roman Reigns of the Sharks. People love him or hate him. And I'm on the love side.
I am too.
Yeah, I would be very disappointed if the tank turned on Marlowe next time he comes to town. I think he gets standing ovation. I don't think that this diminishes his legacy in San Jose by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and he's got a full no move. So if he doesn't like it in Toronto, he can just basically cry until he gets a trade back to San Jose.
I can't wait for JR to get on some kind of TV and go, what a gutless move to go to Toronto.
He does not show Canadian teams. JR will have no reason to talk about Patrick Marlowe.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, guys. I am Ian Reed. You can find me at Ian Blog Sharks. I put out a couple of articles in the last couple of nights about the free agency. The guys did a video earlier with some initial reactions to the Marlowe contract that is included in my most recent article. So, I mean, that article has it all. So definitely go check that out on Teal Town USA. Follow at Teal Town USA on Twitter. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't. Subscribe to our audio streams, iTunes, Google Play, the whole works. We will be back. I don't know when we'll be back. We'll be back soonish. I have surgery on Friday, but I'd like to be back.
We'll be back tomorrow when Radulov signs.
No. Yeah, we'll come. Maybe.
Radulov?
Maybe if I can get the crew together, maybe we'll do another show later in the week before I go have surgery. We'll see.
Pre-surgery.
Yes, a pre-surgery before I go on the IR. Keep your eyes on our Twitter feeds, obviously. We'll always let you know when a show is going to be. We'll be here all summer. Don't go away. Subscribe. Guys, this has been awesome. Have a good night.